Well, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year to all of you. If you have a Bible, do you have one? If you don't, there are some in the pews. Grab one and open it to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Last week, we began a new series for the new year. Resolutions that are righteous. And we began this series by defining the word resolution. Here's what we learned about a biblical resolution. A resolution, according to the scriptures, begins with a thought, Judges 5 and 15. I think to myself, self, I want to resolutely prevail with strength to obey the commands, ordinances, and word of God, 1 Chronicles 28 and 7. Now that's what makes it a righteous resolution. I have a thought. I think to myself, self, I'm going to make a resolution this year. I'm going to obey you. And the goal of this righteous resolution is this. Acts 11 and 23, then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. That's the goal of our resolution. We want it said of us, those people resolutely remain true to the Lord. Now, what does that look like? If we flesh that out, what does that righteous resolution to remain true to the Lord look like? Well, pay careful attention to this verse because all our thoughts revolve around it. Luke 1, 74 and 75, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Do you see the word righteous? That's half our series, right? We're exploring resolutions that are righteous. Do you see the word serve him? Did you know serving him will make you righteous? In Malachi 3 and 18, so you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Notice Luke 1 one more time. To grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Do you see the words without fear? Serving him without fear? Did you know fear interferes? Fear interferes with serving him. I think to myself, self, I have a thought. I want to resolutely prevail with strength to obey your word. I want to remain true to you all the days of my life by serving you. But Lord, fear interferes. So Lord, I need to make a righteous resolution. We need to make this resolution. Deuteronomy 20 and 3, don't waver in resolve, don't fear. Resolve not to fear. Did you ever make that resolution? And most of our resolutions have to do with the external, the outside. Where do you think fear takes place? On the inside. And we have to resolve not to fear. Psalm 112 and 8, his resolve is firm. He will not succumb to fear. I began to think about how fear interferes. Would you agree with this statement? It's kind of hard to remain true to the Lord if you're not going to serve the Lord. That seems like a contradiction. That you're going to remain true to him, but you're not going to serve him? You want to make a righteous resolution, but you don't want to serve him when he says to us in Malachi, the righteous serve me, the wicked don't. So I began to think about how does fear interfere with serving? You know what I discovered? Too many examples. I took the liberty to just grab a few. Let's begin with this one. Luke 10:40, "But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.'" You know what Martha feared, right? She feared those statistics that Matt used to share with me years ago. 15% of the people do 85% of the work, right? In this case, though, 1% of the people is doing 100% of the work. Martha feared what many servants fear. "My sister has left me to do all the serving alone." Ever find yourself serving the Lord and you look around and you see a whole lot of people sitting? No one seems to be serving. You're serving, they're sitting. They're sitting, they're soaking, and they're souring. You're serving. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I think Martha's a little angry. Probably a little bitter. Maybe a little upset. You know what happens, right, when the fear of burnout sets in? I can't do this all by myself. Sometimes we quit serving altogether. We shouldn't fear serving all alone. The psalmist says that the Lord is our strength and our help. Do not fear. And when you're serving all alone, you run the risk of running out of strength. God will strengthen you. You say, yeah, that's easier said than done. Now, here we go again with these lofty thoughts. I know, but we've only begun the lesson. I do have a remedy. I do have something to overcome our fear. How about this servant? This service, Romans 1:9, "For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son." Did you know that preaching Jesus is serving Jesus? Anyone ever fear preaching? Anyone ever fear witnessing, evangelizing? Did I neglect to mention that the righteous serve and the wicked don't? And so much of the things that are behind our serving, there's also behind them reasons to fear. Fear interferes. Family, friends, strangers, co-workers, neighbors. You ever fear talking to them about Jesus? Do not fear. You say, again, easier said than done. I know, but we've only begun. How about this one? 1 Timothy 3:10, "These must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach." Do you know what servants fear from that passage? You're going to have to be placed under a microscope. We probably don't think in these terms, but "these must also first be tested, then let them serve." We fear our lives being an open book. Transparency. We don't want people to know too much about us, get too close. And we fear the idea of first being tested. And may I share with you an irreplaceable, indispensable commodity for service? Availability. That's irreplaceable. Availability. If you're really going to be a servant of the Lord, if you're going to really be true to the Lord, you got to be available. How about this one? Matthew 6:24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Do you think anyone's ever had any money fears? Anyone here ever have any money fears? You can't serve money and serve your Messiah. Are you beginning to see that we've got to serve him without fear, but there's so many things about serving that fear seems to interfere with serving. You think about last week's lesson. There's so much fear intertwined in what we learned last week. I won't take the time to mention it, but here really is how we sum up service. Matthew 20, 28 and 29, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We look at that passage and we say, thank God it's about the Son. No. How about the verse prior? Matthew 20 and 27, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. You see, Jesus said that about himself for us. If I had to summarize all the passages on service that I read this week, and there were so many, I couldn't mention them all, but I'm just going to sum it all up. Do you know what we fear about serving? That if I make you first, I'm going to be last. Because that's the essence of servanthood. I'm going to make you first, and I'm going to end up being last. Jesus is saying, if you place yourself last, I will make you first. So much of serving God without fear requires us to believe God, to stretch ourselves, to push ourselves, to do what we say we can't, even though we know we should. You say, easier said than done. I know. Let me just say this, impossible without this morning's lesson. Do you know what you and I need in order to serve him without fear? We need these two verses. 1 John 4, with your Bibles open, it says, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Now, the sine qua non to serving without fear is found in those two verses. How many have heard me use that Latin expression before? The sine qua non. For those who are new and have never heard that expression, here's how it can best be understood. For the gasoline engine, the sine qua non is the gas. No gas. And she is a no-go. No love, and expect to live life in fear. The sine qua non to serving God without fear is love. Did you know you can't serve God without love? Genesis 29 and 18, now Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Deuteronomy 10 and 12, now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Galatians 5 and 13, but through love, serve one another. Can't serve without love. And you'll never serve if you have a whole lot of fear in your life. And the only way to get rid of fear is with more love. Well, what does John mean by perfect love? He didn't just say love casts out fear. He said perfect love casts out fear. He's shooting high, lofty. What does he mean? Well, in one passage in 1 John, he says this, 1 John 2 and 5, but whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been what? Perfected. See, perfect love requires you and I to keep his word. Whoever keeps his word has perfect love. By the way, wasn't that last week's righteous resolution? Didn't we read this passage? 1 Chronicles 28 and 7. I will establish his kingdom forever if he resolutely performs my commandments and my ordinances. See, when you resolutely perform the commandments and the word of God, when you keep his word, love is being perfected in you. Right about now, someone is thinking to themselves, is he trying to tell us that if I resolve to love more, I will fear less? Is anyone hearing me say that? I hope you're hearing God say that. See, I'm just a conduit. I'm just simply repeating what he has said. It's not enough that you hear me saying it. Is God saying that to your heart, to your mind? How about this for a righteous resolution in the year 2018? Perfect love. But could you imagine what this place might be like if every one of us makes the righteous resolution to serve without fear because we make the righteous resolution to figure out what does God mean by perfect love? Let's talk about the word perfect. It's the word teleio. It means maturing, fulfilling, completing, accomplishing, and finishing. Maturing, fulfilling, completing, accomplishing, and finishing. Those words alone ought to tell us something about perfect love. In other words, it's something we're stretching out for. It's part of the growth of the Christian to grow in love. Jesus said this in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That word for accomplish is the same word translated perfected back in 1 John 4. John 19:28, I thirst in order to fulfill the scriptures. Same word fulfill for perfected. Do you want to accomplish God's work? Here's a better question. Do you thirst to do it? The idea of thirsting for it. Have you ever been really thirsty? I mean, really thirsty? And you get that cold glass of water. You now know what I mean by thirsty? Do you thirst to serve God? Do you thirst for perfect love? James 2:22, you see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And again, same word for perfected in 1 John 4. So what needs to be perfected, fulfilled, and accomplished? In a word, works. The works of God. Good works. The perfect love is when you don't just talk about the need to share Christ, you do it. The perfect love is not talking about sharing, caring, giving. Perfect love is when you share, care, and give. Now, why am I placing the thought that, well, talk is cheap? The idea that, you know, we could talk a good game, we could talk about being loving people. Why am I mentioning perfect love is when you don't just talk about the need to share Christ, you actually do it? You know, there's a lot of people that talk about evangelism, and then there are people who evangelize. Why am I mentioning there's a difference between? Well, look what John said in 1 John 3. Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. You see, real love is action. Real love is not simply talking about the noble thing, the righteous thing. It's doing it. I guess here's what John would say to us from that passage. Let the rubber hit the road. That's the meaning of teleio. John, you know how John wants you and I to overcome fear? By placing a little fear in us. Really. Notice why I say that. 1 John 4:17, by this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. And do you see why I say that he wants to help us overcome fear by placing a little fear in us? The day of judgment. Why connect the day of judgment to fear? Why connect the day of judgment to perfect love? Why connect the day of judgment to confidence? Here's why. 1 John 2 and 28, now little children, abide in him so that when he appears we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. John's whole point is Jesus is coming. How's your love? Jesus is coming. How's your perfect love? How's your walk and how's your talk? How's your truth and how's your deeds? The idea of shrinking away, that's all about fear. He has two thoughts. Shrinking away speaks to fear, and the word shame tells us why we will have it. Where's your love? How's your love? Wrong question. How's your perfect love? You know, before we give ourselves an A+, perfected love, right? Now, before we give ourselves an A+, pay careful attention to what perfect love looks like. 1 John 4 and 17, by this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Now watch this, because as he is, so also are we in the world. As he is, so also are we. As he is, so also are we. Are we? Are we what? As he is. Loving like Jesus. That's the litmus test. That's how you know if you have this perfect love. And by the way, why do we want perfect love? Anyone here have any fears going on in their life? Anything you're afraid of? Anything you're a little concerned about? Would you like to get rid of those fears? What casts away fear? Perfect love. Perfect love. As he is, so also are we. How should we love Jesus so that we can say we're like him? 1 John 3:16 and 17, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? You know what that's all about, right? Talk is cheap. The rubber hits the road. Works. Verifiable, tangible, irrefutable, good works. You know, we're drawing a parallel connection between his laying down his life and the need for us to lay down our lives, with one exception. John interprets the meaning. It doesn't mean go to the cross. Now, that's what Jesus did, but that's not what we're being told to do. We have a different sacrifice to make. It has to do with what we have and what somebody else needs. Can't serve money and Messiah. Remember that? Remember that? Can't serve money and Messiah? William MacDonald always used to tell us, but you can serve Messiah with money. You can't serve both, but you can serve Messiah with money. Aren't you glad? You say, aren't you glad for what? There was no fear in his love. There was no fear in his loves. He who knew he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He who knew that he was going to be the beaten, bruised, and bloodied Messiah left heaven and came anyway. You know what that tells me? Perfect love casts out fear. I mean, Jesus had every reason to fear. He chose perfect love. There was no fear in his love. As he is, so also are we. Now the question, of course, is, are we? Are we like Jesus? Matthew 20 and 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now pay careful attention to what he said in John 4 about this. My food is to do the will of him who and to accomplish his work. Yeah, there's something not right there. I think you get the point though, right? You know what Jesus did not say to the Father? I can't. You know what he said to him, right? I will. I want you to think about that the next time you're challenged to serve. Do you say that a lot? I can't. I won't. Probably is the more honest answer. The perfect love answer is, I will. As He is, so also are we. When the subject is service, there are only two words, I will. John wants the Christian to fear the day of judgment. Do you? Paul wants us to fear it. 2 Corinthians 5:10-11, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is the day of judgment that John's talking about. So that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done. You know what that's all about, according to what he has done? Can I just give you one word to describe according to what he has done? Service. Because that's what servants do. They do things. In the body, whether good or bad. Now watch this. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. See, we ought to fear the day of judgment. Do you know how Paul describes these two verses on the screen? 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Jesus died for us. We ought to live a sacrifice life. That's love. Let me make a promise that I can keep, and let me tell you about a promise I can't keep. I can't promise you from what you've learned this morning that any of the reasons or circumstances that have any one of us living in a state of fear will be cast out. I can't make that promise. If you are sick and afraid, broke and afraid, lonely and afraid, unemployed and afraid, I can't promise you that if you love more, you will be healed, rich, married, and employed. I can't make that promise. Here's what I can promise you on the authority of God's Word. If you say to yourself, self, I have a thought this year. It's in my heart. I want to make a resolution. It's a righteous one. I want to prevail with strength to obey the commands, ordinances, and Word of God tangibly, practically, lovingly, serving you, your people, the lost. Your fear will be cast out. Imagine a life where there are plenty of reasons to be afraid, and you just aren't. All the circumstances, all the reasons, they're right there in front of you. You have every reason to fear, but you just don't. How many have discovered, like I've discovered, most of our fears go unrealized anyway? The things that we're overly concerned about, and they don't happen anyway. But let's assume whatever it is you're fearing, it's going to happen. Imagine a life where there are plenty of reasons to fear and you just don't. Do you know the reason why you just don't? Perfect love. You actually heard something and you said, you know what? I need to make this righteous resolution this year. I need to serve Him without fear. I need to stop saying I can't, and I need to start saying I will. People all around you know exactly what you are going through and they scratch their heads. What's your secret? William Gladstone, in announcing the death of Princess Alice to the House of Commons, told a very touching story. The little daughter of the princess was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter and endanger her life by breathing the child's breath. Once, when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother, forgetting herself entirely, took the little one into her arms to keep her from choking to death. Rasping and struggling for her life, the child said, "Mama, kiss me." Without thinking of herself, the mother tenderly kissed her daughter. She got diphtheria, and some days thereafter, she went to be forever with the Lord. That touching story reminds us, as He is, so also are we. Now that touching story is a reminder that perfect love forgets self. Perfect love knows no danger. Perfect love doesn't count the cost. Perfect love casts out fear. I could do that for my girls. I want to be able to do that for yours. I could do something like that for my wife. I'd like to be that way for everybody. As He is, so also are we. It's not selective. Wouldn't you love to live so courageously as to live knowing where you're going, believing with every ounce of your being that if you die, you're going to be with the Lord. And in the meantime, I'm going to serve Him without fear. Here's my challenge to you this morning. I want you to think about all the commands and ordinances and the Word of God, what it tells us to do. How to live, how to behave. And then I want you to think about what is keeping you from them. And then I want you to ask a deeper question. Is fear in any way tied to me saying I can't? It's time to go door to door with the gospel. I'm not suggesting door to door evangelism is the wisest method for evangelism. And I guess if you choose not to go because you don't think it's very productive, I can appreciate that. But what if the reason why you won't go is because you're afraid? Last week's sermon, the need to be here every Sunday. And you're not. And the reason is because of money. You need money, so you choose money over Messiah. You choose cash over church. And you're afraid that if I make the righteous resolution to do what we learned last week, I might be on the short end of the stick when it comes to money. Could that be the reason why you're afraid? Think of your own personal life before God and think of the things that God's Word challenges us to do and then ask this question, am I afraid to do that? What is interfering? Is fear interfering with those challenges? If it is, make a righteous resolution. This is the year of perfect love. This is the year of doing. Does that sound like a noble, righteous resolution? Now imagine if we all got together and did it together. Remember last week I said the importance of not missing church? You might miss out on a meeting. You might miss out on one of those Jonathan Edwards-like meetings. Right? You'd have to hear about it secondhand. You couldn't have actually been there to experience it because you decided not to come to church. What happens if God has a word for you and it's just for you? Do you think, has anyone ever left saying, boy, that really spoke to me? Have you ever come to church on Sunday? That really spoke to me. 20 other people are sitting there going, that's the worst sermon I ever heard. You ever figure out, how do you reconcile those two? I'll tell you how. Sometimes God's got a word just for you, but if you miss church, and you miss it on the Sunday that was meant for you, You know what you're going to regret, right? You miss church. I can't tell you when God's got a word for you. Here's the only thing I can promise you. When I come here on Sunday morning, I can assure you we're going to talk about God's word. And it might just be for you. Let's take these righteous resolutions seriously this year. Let's not let it be a short series that goes in one ear and out the other ear. Let's actually, within ourselves, do some serious soul searching, asking some serious questions of self. Self, I have a thought. I'm not living what I'm learning. I'm really not living what I'm learning. And I got to do something about it. Because I believe what I heard. How many believe perfect love casts out fear? Yeah, now the question becomes, how are we doing? As He is, so also are we. Don't measure yourself against yourself. Measure yourself against Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. May it challenge us, convict us, correct us, and change us. May it redirect our resolutions. May they become righteous resolutions, like serving You without fear, by resolving not to, because we have learned to live like You, perfect love, doers of the word, people who take tangible, verifiable, irrefutable good works to the lives of others. I pray, Father, that this word would challenge us to do that. That we would be on the lookout for love. That we would be on the lookout for people to love. Father, plant this word in our hearts and in our thoughts. And may we start to say, self, I need to do this. A thought, a resolution. Amen.